And she said, others are waiting till they got finished the pledge. And she said, your sister doesn't have any idea what they've done for us. Because she said, we'd have bills coming in, we didn't have money to pay for it. And she said, here your sister's check would come in for $1,000 or maybe $2,000 once in a while. And she said, we were able to do it. And eventually they did, you know, finish their pledge. But I don't know whether they got that idea. I don't know where they got the idea of putting me on that job. That was, but anyway.
By that time, you must have had a good track record at Mundelein.
Well, I don't know. The sisters were awfully good to me. You know, I think they realized that. As I was telling Sister, you know, we had 72 sisters there. And I was one, seventh youngest, and went from that table all the way to the first. In those days, we went by number.
We were still doing that when I got there.
I know. I know we were. All the time I was there, we were carrying numbers.
I like that foot of the table down there at the end.
So what?
Yes. So one of the things certainly that you will be remembered for is professionalizing the account keeping of the college. Is that
well,
right?
Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I never
certainly
thought of anything, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the Ford Foundation grant was certainly the biggest one the college had ever had until
what?
That time. The Ford Foundation grant.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what about the faculty that were there? Who were the, is there anything you'd like to say about your faculty this time?
I think that we had some very fine teachers. Of course, I mentioned Mary Richard before. I thought she was one of the finest, from the standpoint of a religious life, you know. Mm-hmm. Sister Mary Augustina in history, also Margarita, they were excellent teachers. Mm-hmm. And there were other teachers that I wasn't too, you know, mm-hmm. Familiar with. Mary Basling was there. And I had the privilege, should I say, of telling her that she was to come to Mount Carmel. It wasn't an easy thing to do, but I recall that when Mother sent word to me that I was to tell her to come, she was to come to Mount Carmel. And but anyway, I did tell her, and it was hard for her to accept.
But she was retired to Mount Carmel, wasn't
she? Well, she still had a hold on things, mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. So you wouldn't do that very best, would you? But I remember coming. I told her the day we would have to come. It was also the days of trains, mm-hmm. and the Zephyr came.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
I arranged for a Zephyr, a parlor car in the Zephyr, and I asked I think it was Mary Roseberry to come with me. And we got in, and it was early, you know, early morning that we started. And Mary Basling didn't talk the whole time. And I thought, do something, you know. I said, I think I'd like some breakfast. So I said to Mary Basling, I said, would you like some? I want nothing. And I whispered to Roseberry earlier, I said, Sister, now when I say something, you agree with me. So I said to Rose, I said, would you like a little bit of coffee or toast? And I knew Smir Basling loved orange juice. So I called the porter and I asked him to bring breakfast. And I asked her what she wanted. I want nothing. So she got into the little lavatory, you know, that was always there, and she closed the door. Well, the porter came and we gave our order, and I said a double order of orange juice, a large glass of orange juice. And I ordered something for a plate for her. Mm-hmm. And when they brought it, I knocked on the door and I said, Sister, won't you come out? And she came out. I said, our breakfast is here. And I said, there's a little orange juice there for you. And she sat down and she looked at us, and I don't know what I had on her plate. And she started eating, and she started to open up. Mm-hmm. Then when we got, and she was really nice at the end. We got here, and two sisters were meeting us. Now, I don't know, I didn't know Dubuque, you know. And is it St. Joseph Sanitarium? Was that it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the sister said, "You're going to the St. Joseph Sanitarium." Well, she threw her hands up. She said, "I'm not going." Well, of course, she was here in Dubuque, and they said, "Well, sister, there's no room right now at the infirmary." And Mother said, "We have a room over there," but it was just a room until there's someone they can get infirmary ready. So we took her over there, and I had to leave her there. So we went back. But anyway, I want to tell you this about Mary Bazley. I came in to see her very often while she was sick. It's Mercy Columba, the nurse. She was her nurse. And she used to call me once in a while to tell me how she was. Well, I came in this one time, and she wasn't good. And she talked to me, but not very much. And I said, "Well, I think I better get started home." And I got to the door, and she said, "Sister, come back." So I came back, and she said, "Will you shake hands with me?" And I said, "Oh, sir." I took her hand in both of my hands. I said, "Why not?" I said, "Sister, you're going to be all right," or something like that. And she just looked at me, and she said, "Sister, I'm sorry for what I put you through. Perhaps if I'd had a superior in my early life like you, I would have been different."
How wonderful.
And she died about 2 days later.
Oh, what a story.
Well, I didn't do anything to her, but I did say to her, "Well, this is not my," you know, when I told her about coming, I said, "Sister, this is not my decision. This comes from the Superior General."
And you were kind to her.
Hmm?
You were kind to her.
Well, I suppose. But, I mean, you know, it was certainly a change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's my...
Just pause. I probably should.
Now, that's enough for me. That's enough for
what
me.
Was there anything that you wanted to do that you didn't, you weren't able to finish?
Yes, what I wanted to do was, I wanted to build a residence hall.
Oh.
You know, Miss Maria and I did it, and that was all right. I had planned, I never presented them because it was only in my mind and I had it all worked out in paper, but I didn't present it, and I had asked some engineers that had worked at Mundelein, and contractors, and I wanted a 400-car garage underground.
Ooh.
And I was wondering about the lake, see, because mm-hmm. Mundelein is on borrowed ground, let's yeah. say, but I just wondered if it was possible, and I was told it was,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it would be a marvelous thing, you know, to get all the cars out of it, you know. And but I never presented it because mm-hmm. I knew I'd never be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have the money to do anything like that.
I take it the building was never paid for.
As far as I know, I was never told.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it, sister.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it.
It was a tremendous undertaking.
Yes.
Undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, sister. Is there anything else that you'd like to say about Mundelein College or yourself that I've forgotten to ask?
Oh, I don't think so. Of course, that's my whole life. I was never anyplace
yes.
else except mm-hmm. the Cedars, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know too much about off the communities. You know, the convents and the schools that we had. But
have you ever regretted that your whole life was Mundelein College?
Never. Mm-hmm. I never was I just felt that that was what the community expected of me, and mm-hmm. That was what I was told to do, and I would do it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I entered and knew that I was in the hands of other people.
And so your life took a different direction than you ever envisioned.
Oh, yes. When I was appointed to Mundy, as president, that never entered my head, mm-hmm. or superior. I never bothered anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad. I think I left it in good financial straits, I mean, as far as Mundelein was concerned, mm-hmm. and I was glad for that, because it was in a bad way for a while, mm-hmm. and
you pulled it out.
Well, God did, not I, sister. As a person, I could never have done it. It would have the Lord that did it, sister. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being just pious, mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. I had to have some kind of help.
You had 75 people there.
Yeah. There's one thing, though, that I should tell you, and that is when I went in, there were 72 sisters. And on an average, because at Mundelein, a lot of the sisters in the community think that Mundelein did everything, just what they wanted to do. Well, we went to community room, you know, we had night mm-hmm. prayers, and we had spiritual reading in common. Well, at that time, it was very regulated, very regulated. We did it according to the times. And at night prayer, sister, we had an average of 29 sisters out of the 72.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a superior, I just felt something has to be done. And sisters would come in, and Mother told me this, that I was to send the list to her. They would come in and ask for going to bed early, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, I'd put the name down, mm-hmm. say yes. And I'd always ask, or not always, but sometimes I'd ask if they felt better, is there anything I could do for them? When did they go to the doctor last, you know? And most of them were very nice about it. Well, I figured 29 sister, and that was when I realized that Sister Mary, the one I mentioned first, Richard,
mm-hmm.
she was one of the oldest in the house. She never asked one thing extra. She was always there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that sister needs a little rest, extra rest once in a while, but she's there every night.
Mm-hmm.
So one night, I said, after supper prayers, we always knelt down, you know, in the dining room and said after supper prayers. As soon as I said grace, I rang the bell, so they didn't kneel.
Mm-hmm.
I said, sisters, how would you like to go to the chapel and say our prayers together? And I said, anyone who wants to go to the community room can go. But I said, if you want to go to your room, go to your room and get ready for bed, mm-hmm. or get ready for tomorrow and be on your own. Mm-hmm. Well, they clapped. So I did it that.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, I did it one night. I skipped a week. Then I started, another week. Then I started two nights a week. You won't believe this, but I got a letter from the Superior General and said, well, to the effect that as a superior, you can't change the rules. It was an awful letter to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't changing the rules, but I was so hurt that I didn't answer it. And I continued to do what I was doing.
Good for you.
And my mother came for visitation, because I was always the last one to go in. And when I was finished, or we were finished, I started to go, and I just settled back, and I said, Mother, I said, I would like to say something. I said, you sent me a letter one time, and I said, I want you to know I wasn't trying to be to hurt you or anything, and I didn't answer. I said, I wasn't trying to be impolite either. I said, I just felt that I couldn't answer because what you said to me was not true. Mm-hmm. And I said, you told me that as a superior, I didn't have any right to change the rule. And I said, I had never changed the rule, never changed any rule. And she kind of looked at me and was, and I said, Mother, I said, I understand according to religious life that a superior has the right to interpret the rule. I said, for example, one sister needs to go to the doctor, but the others don't. And I said, some need a special diet and others don't. So I said, we make exceptions. And I said, I make an exception to different sisters. And I said, that's what I did. I said, what I did was going to bed, going to community life, the community room. I said, I did that periodically for the benefit of all the sisters. I said, some sisters got the permission each month, but I said, some of the other sisters need it, and I said, they don't ask. So I said, when I change that and allow the sisters to go to bed early for the whole house, I said, I was interpreting the rule for the other sisters, and I think that doesn't mean I changed the rule. And she said, don't worry about it, don't bother. At the end of the second year, we got a letter, went all over the community, in which the honorarium of the community could be changed, and you had a choice of three, and they had three identified. Well, I looked at it, and I read the letter to the sisters, and I posted it. One of the sisters came to me, she said, John Michael, did you notice something on that letter that you got from the Superior General? I said, well, I knew it was the honorarium that we could decide on it. She said, yes, but did you notice it? And I said, well, not particularly. She said, well, the last one was the one that you've been doing. I hadn't paid any attention to it. But I was glad I was able to do that. Yes. You know. And I know Mary St. Columba came to Mundelein, you know, and she told me, sister, she came into me one day and said, sister, I haven't carried as many trays that whole semester that I used to carry in 1 week.
Because of the...
Yeah, the change. She said, you've given them rest and they needed it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that part I liked. I mean, mm-hmm. I knew that I had done something for all the entire house. It wasn't much, but... something.
It was a great deal. A great deal. Yes, so you left the college in good shape.
I hope so.
Yes.
I hope so.
And I never think of you in those years at Mundelein that I don't think of Sister Mary Bernarda.
No.
I think of her as being one of your great supporters.
Oh. Well, I've been told I was a good support before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But Bernarda was another person that did an awful lot for Mundelein. Mm-hmm. And she certainly knew the student body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
Oh, yes, she did. She knew those girls. Sister, she knew not only the girls, she knew their boyfriends, she knew their husbands, she knew their children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was a wonderful dean.
Yes, she was.
Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, sister...
I hope mm-hmm. I gave you something, but I hope you edit that mm-hmm. tape or something.
Well, it's coming out fine, for which
oh.
I'm grateful.
Oh.
And I thank you for giving me the interview.
Oh, not at all.
I'm also glad I was at Mundelein for 2 years while you were,
Sister
John
you,
Michael
sister.
Was at the helm.
I always remember you at one of the Senate meetings. You were talking. I know the group was around me. Was it?
No, I think the person was Sister Mary Justicia. We've got it now.
Yeah. I would say a very open type of person, very kind, and as I mentioned once before, a large woman, but had a heart as big as her person. She was most fair in her dealings with me, at least, and I think with everyone in the community, and was vitally interested in what we were doing as teachers. She was very much interested in the young sisters, and of course had young sisters there. But she just didn't have young sisters around. I said she looked after us. And every Sunday she took us for direction and gave us regulations of how to conduct ourselves, what we were to do, and expected us to carry out the work that we were, as far as we as young sisters in the community, like.
How about her ability to raise money?
That, I don't know, but I do recall this hearing that Mundelein was about to be, the construction of Mundelein was about to begin, and I understand she went down to State Street and wanted, I don't know what she wanted, but she wanted to consult the gentleman down there, and they kept telling her, "Sister, you can't build now, you can't build now." And she said, after they would talk to her, her final word was, "Well, I know you'll help me. I know you'll help me." And whether they did or not, I don't know. But at least she built the college, and it was during the Depression, naturally, not 29, when it was going up.
And if nothing else, she made friends.
Pardon?
If nothing else, she made friends with
very,
with
very
men.
Much so. Mm-hmm. She was a type of person that could win people over. She had a personality that at first you wouldn't think she would be that way, but it was just her manner that she had. For example, the cardinal came one day to the door, and the sister who answered the door didn't know. She just thought he was a priest. And he said he wanted to see the art teacher. So she had him come in, and she took him down to the cardinal, what we call the cardinal's room at the time, and she went down to get Sister Mary Janet, who was the one she thought she ought to call. She was head of the department, and she told Sister Mary Justicia down there that there was a priest in the down the reception room. And Sister Mary Justicia went down. Of course, when she saw him, she saw the cardinal. And told her what he wanted. And so Sister called Sister Mary. Janet came down then, and she walked to the door, and Sister told her to come in. And what he wanted was that he wanted, it was the whole Archdiocese of Chicago were sending a spiritual bouquet to the Holy Father for some reason or other, and they all had contributed these spiritual prayers, and he wanted a spiritual bouquet made, and he wanted Mary Janet to make it, and it was a work of art. It truly and truly was.
You can imagine.
In fact, I had a part of it. Mary Janet collected some of us and said she'd like to have us do some of the artwork. Well, the artwork was, she had the decoration ready, but she didn't have all the colors in, and she told us how to put the colors in. And so all we had to do was follow her direction. But it was a white vellum book, and it was about 10 pages in length, and it was really a gorgeous thing.
And that went to the Pope?
Went to the Holy Father.
The Holy Father.
Mm-hmm. And sometime later on, the Cardinal consulted Mary Janet about some artwork that was had some significance for the Archdiocese.
Well, I hope that's in her archival collection, that she made a spiritual bouquet for the Holy Father.
Oh, yes. It was really mm-hmm. a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we all had a hand in it.
Yeah, that's right. You put a color in.
Yeah, we put the color in. Mm-hmm.
So now, Sister Mary Consuela was there for 3 years.
Yes. I think I mentioned this. The three of us had been sent for study during the summer. We hadn't been away. I know Sister Mary Justicia told me, she said, "You haven't been away for a long time." And I said, "Well, of course, I hadn't been away any summer." And she said, "Would you like to go?" And I said, "Well, that's all right." So three of us went to summer school. And in those days, you had no contact with the, you know, sent no letters, no contact with the sisters during summer. And when we came back, it was late at night. A quite a number of sisters were waiting up for us. And one of the sisters said to me, "Sister Mary Justicia wants to be remembered to you." And I said, "Oh, thank you. Is she visiting now?" And she said, "Well, she's here." And, well, we just thought she was visiting. And pretty soon they kind of looked at us, and the others didn't know what had happened. And then finally one sister said, "Oh, she's here." And we said, "Well, yes, you said that." "Well, she's the president." And right away we said, "Where's Mary Consuela?" And they just said, "Well, she's her term is up."
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we learned that we had Mary Justicia back.
Uh-huh.
But I would say that the sisters accepted her. They were very happy that she was there. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Sister Mary Consuela was not, but of course the term is 3 years.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I think she was accepted in a very positive way.
Sister Mary Consuela?
Sister Mary, I think Sister Mary Consuela, yes. I would say she was a very fair person, rather regal in her manner,
mm-hmm.
but she was not distant. If you had a problem, at least I would say, she was always fair, would listen to what you had to say, and
mm-hmm.
Would give you her response straight in the shoulder. But she would really support you in anything that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
That was my experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
so,
I think to me she was a very fine selection, and I think she did a good job while she was there.
Mm-hmm. All right, then Sister Mary Josephine was the one that was in before you.
Yes, Mary Josephine followed Sister Mary Justicia's second term of 6 years. And Sister Mary Josephine was there for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
She was not a type of person that was dominating, but she very kind person. I didn't know her as mm-hmm. well as I did the other two sisters, but I found her always, anything I had to do with her, I found her very understanding. And I think she was concerned with the college from a standpoint of education,
mm-hmm.
Was willing to help in any way possible.
Mm. Now, tell me, how did you learn you were going to be her successor?
Sister called me down to the office and handed me a letter and said, "This is from the Superior General, and you can go up to your room and read it." So I did, and I, as I could understand, floored. But anyway, I considered it and went back and handed Sister the letter and told her what it was. And she said to me, "Are you going to accept?" And I said, "Well, I'll have to think about it."
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I went up to the chapel and wondered what to do. And I wrote a letter and accepted the assignment. Somewhat later, Mother sent for me, told me to come to Mount Carmel, that she wanted to talk to me. And when I came, I asked her, why me? I was one of the younger sisters there. And as you know, we always sat according to number. Mm-hmm. And I was the oldest at the last table, the seventh table, and I went up to the first table, which was not easy. But I will say that the sisters there were marvelous.
What did you enjoy most about your years as president of Lundelein?
Oh, I never really thought about it, because I was so concerned about what I was supposed to do. And when I was here, and when Mother called me, and I asked her why, and she said, you know the condition of Mundelein. And I said, Mother, I'm only a teacher. I don't know anything was happening at Mundelein. I said, I teach my classes, and that's it. And we don't hear. I said, at least I don't hear anything that's happening. And I will use the expression that Mother used.